everyone for coming along. Unfortunately, though, Jake from Australia isn't able to come along after all. Yeah, he emailed me yesterday about this, saying he's yeah not able to chair the discussion, which is a shame. Paddy thankfully has agreed to step in instead. And yeah, of course, the discussion is on how the Socialist Party can use technology better. Yeah, that, obviously that's something that, you know, we're sort of putting into practice at the moment. But, you know, there's always ways we can improve and do things differently. Yeah, we'll ask Paddy to open the discussion in a couple of minutes. But have we got any volunteers for anyone to chair the discussion afterwards?
I'll do it, Mike.
Oh, okay, that's great. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll just give the usual reminder. If everyone could please mute their microphone so that we don't get the feedback or background noises. And yeah, so I'll hand over to Paddy to open the discussion on how the Socialist Party can use technology better. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, well, sorry to start off Saturday morning with such a gigantic disappointment, but you're going to get me instead. The first thing to say is that we probably ought to change the name of the talk from How the Socialist Party Can Use Technology Better to How the WSM Can Use Technology Better, given the representation that we're seeing now on Discord from various groups around the world. I should say that I'm not really the best person to be starting this off, as I'm not personally on any social media apart from you know, family links on WhatsApp and that sort of thing. So what we were going to talk about was running a Facebook page, and I don't actually know anything about that. So, but I do know some things. For instance, in the last couple of months, I've, you know, like a lot of us here have, we've talked to people, members of the Socialist Party, the WSM, that we never thought we'd get a chance to talk to. People from around the world, people we've never heard from. People have been able to attend these events that for the first time in some cases. So not being bound by time or geography or travel costs, also our internal democratic committees are more open and inclusive than I think they've ever been. Activity in the party hasn't gone down in the pandemic, it's gone up. Instead of attending a meeting once a month, many of us are meeting three times a week. Lots of people are saying the pandemic has changed the way that they operate, and that's true for us as well. This is arguably a watershed moment for the WSM. So what are we going to do with it? Well, just a few months into COVID, it's still a bit too early to say how we're likely to change or if we're likely to change. Most members, it's got to be said, have not latched on to this change in activity so far. The new normal is not yet established. We don't even know what the new normal looks like. So Discord has taken all the physical inconvenience out of meetings, leaving just the core content in place. It's made organisation and communication easier and faster. And this has created opportunities for new types of dynamic, real-time activity that were unthinkable before through just by using email. The most important qualitative change is not that it's even instant or it's real-time. It's that it's collective, as opposed to us all sitting alone in our isolated front rooms thinking of ways to be useful. Let me give you just two examples of this that from recent experience. Something that I'm going to call the Salient and something else called the Meme Factory. Now, the Salient is just a word I've made up because it sounds pretty edgy and cool. But this was Steve Finch's idea to get a few members in real time to coordinate a combined attack on the feedback section of a news website to see if we could dominate it with socialist arguments and then fire across links back to our website. Now, we discovered that if we shortened these links with a tiny URL or bit.ly, the news website's filtering software couldn't recognise them as political links and so would let them through. We thought this was a terrific wheeze, so Steve and I and a few other people, Mike as well, spent a few hours at different times doing this. And I've got to say, it was a bit like that scene in Star Wars, you know, with the stirring martial music where Luke Skywalker is the rear gunner on the Millennium Falcon and he's blasting away at the pursuing Imperial fighters and shouting, "There's too many of them!" All right, maybe it wasn't quite that dramatic, but it was pretty adrenaline-fueled all the same, and it was very exhausting. We couldn't keep it up for more than about an hour. But there was a point where I thought we were almost on top of the list. We, four or five of us, were making a real impact. You don't have to be clever or witty or, you know, a master of the brilliant takedown. All you have to say is, "I just want to agree with what that guy said about socialism in that post." Something like that. Just keep it coming fast and simple. It's not quality, it's just quantity. But you need to coordinate because it's all so fast. I've reconstructed from memory what it sounded like in practice. It goes kind of like this. "I'm up now, message 238. Okay, I'll look for 238 now. I'll reply in just a second when I'm done with this one. Hey, check out 266. Somebody's quoting Marx on alienation. It looks like she's saying the same as us. We need to back her up on that. Right, okay, I'll cover 266. 285 looks like he's a libertarian. Have we got a link to an article on that? Oh, I don't know. I'll check the list. Right, my reply to 238 has just come up at 297. All right, I'll follow 297. Just sent my reply to 266 on alienation. Should be up in a minute. Right, I've got a link for the libertarian at 285. Posting it now. Okay. That's like real time. That's how it worked. actually, I'm telling a slight lie. We didn't have a list of articles ready. We should have had a list because that would have been our kind of heavy ammunition, if you like. That was the next step. That was the thing we were going to do next. But we didn't take the next step. And why didn't we? Well, just because there weren't enough of us doing it. Your brain gets worn out pretty fast in that demanding environment, and we couldn't keep it up. It really felt like being on a kind of virtual front line for once. That's why I've called it the salient. But to do it properly, you can't just have a single squad. You need an army. Now, the other example is the meme factory. For anyone who's not quite clear what a meme is, it's a meme isn't exactly what Richard Dawkins originally intended by the word when he made it up. This is a concept expressed briefly and wittily through an image and a small amount of text. Memes take just a second to read and understand, so they're popular on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and that kind of thing. And we discovered that we have members who like to invent memes and put them on social media. Then, a couple of months ago, the Black Lives Matter protests happened in the US. We were talking to US members at the time who were present in the demos. Now, there's nothing harder than having to sit on the sidelines when your own comrades are putting themselves in the firing line, so to speak. We felt pretty connected to events at that moment, and we wanted to do something constructive. And this spurred us on to set up a spontaneous meme workshop to put out a socialist message on racism, on the topical issue of the moment, through social media sites. And in quite a short time, we produced probably half a dozen memes, which then went out to Twitter and Facebook. Now, I don't know what happened to them after that. Hopefully some of them were liked or shared or retweeted or something. But it was a combined communal and coordinated activity of a new kind that we haven't done in the past, made possible by Discord. Now, the meme factory was a much more relaxed affair than the front line, and it was more creative and fun in a way. And I think it produced some good stuff. So this is something that also could be a regular event on Discord, but it just needs people to drive it. Now, both of these activities, quite importantly, are concerned with outreach, not internal discussion. And each one gives you a different kind of buzz. The first one is pure adrenaline. The second is more like creative play. And the chances are that when we've got new members that join, they're probably going to be into one or other of these, or possibly both. But they're both scattergun tactics with no measurable results. Well, that's fine. That's okay. That's perfectly valid. But we could also think about targeted approaches with concrete results. One example was recently when the BBC asked for feedback on ways that society ought to change following the pandemic, and this was reposted on Discord, and we were invited to get involved. Now, several of us did try and post responses to this. One member got through quite brilliantly, decrying the poverty of ambition in the general BBC feedback and also criticising the superficiality of the BBC's approach. More targeting like that would be good. So we need ideas. So part of this morning's discussion wants to be about ideas. So here's another area where the always-on environment of Discord could be a game-changer for us. We don't actually lack for members. What we lack is integrated collective activity and something for new members to do. Discord could make this possible for us. The left wing are pretty big on activity for new members. They give them demos and picket lines and paper sales to do. We don't have a programme like that because we see it as opportunist, hierarchical, coercive and undemocratic. But we do the opposite. We give new members democratic freedom, but nothing to do. We just let them flounder. And being geographically very distributed, there's no chance for the many of them to attend real meetings. So not surprisingly, most of them sink without trace. Properly coordinated collective activity in real time could be our strategic programme. Purely voluntary, obviously, but a concentrated focus for activity that gives members something to do and allows us to punch above our weight. But we need creative ideas and creative people to drive them forward. What else could we and should we be doing on Discord or other media? We're not all social media experts here, but between us, the people here with this meeting, we've probably got hundreds of years of experience of putting the party case. So what suggestions have you all got to offer? And in particular, how do you think Discord is going to impact on WSM activity from now on? Okay, so that's the end of my introduction. So now it's over to you.
Thanks, Paddy. And thanks for standing in at such short notice. Just to say that if people want to speak, what they need to do is click on the speaking channel, the speaking queue, and type Q or something similar, and then you need to tap the return key, and it will register on the screen that you'd like to speak. Okay. Don't just sort of speak at random without doing that, please. It messes things up if you do that. Right, the first speaker we've got is Jordan Levi. Jordan, over to you.
Yeah. I think it's great. Those are great ideas. I think definitely the biggest thing for me is, I think a big reason that a lot of people will join and then like not stay is because of the fact, at least with WSPUS, is because we don't have anything for them to do. So I think stuff like that, bombarding maybe posts with like some of our links and stuff would be a really good start. One thing I did, like me and Steve were doing like a little like kind of a meme committee thing for a little bit, but like it's really hard for me to think of ideas. So like, I don't know if other people could get involved and maybe like contribute some ideas too. That would like be dope because like it's really hard to do that with just like two people. But overall, I definitely agree with everything. Paddy said.
Do you want to respond, Paddy?
No, that's fine. Let's see what people got to say.
Okay. Would somebody else like to make a contribution to in order to continue the discussion? We've got Paul Edwards. Paul, over to you.
Thank you, comrade. Yeah, I mean it's all very true and accurate about what Paddy says, and of course let's not forget there are all sorts of other ways of being active as well for those who are or don't feel competent or confident enough to manage online activity. There's always some other good old fashioned methods for getting out there and getting the message out there. For example, comrade Malcolm Mackay and I, just as soon as the pandemic is lifted, we'll be back on the streets trying to distribute the socialist standard again. So I think the upshot of the, or the moral of the story is, you know, let's get this party started. Let's get it kick-started. You know, yes, do all the online stuff, combine that with traditional methods. But whatever we do, we have to get the message out there, you know, by whatever manner and means, be it online, media, good old traditional methods. I think what really matters is that we all become activists again. It's the only way we're going to get anywhere. Otherwise, we'll just be bumbling along, barely scratching the surface, and that's no good. You know, we'll still be doing the same thing in another 100 years from now unless we start to motivate ourselves, to motivate others, to start getting more involved. So that's, I mean, that's more of a comment and a contribution rather than a solution. But, you know, personally speaking, I'm trying to do some good stuff within Central Branch in order to outreach and get people going and moving again. But moving we must do. You know, we don't want to be constantly labelled as being a talking shop and all the rest of the accusations that we are sometimes levelled at. As you know, we really need to get our act together, for want of a better term, and get things going. So that's me for now.
Thanks, Paul. Mike Foster now. Mike.
You're right there. Yeah, thanks again, Paddy, for kickstarting the discussion. Yeah, and we've got plenty of things to think about. I mean, as well as Discord, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. I sort of read things more often than I post, and yeah, not necessarily political stuff either. Usually stuff about music or non-political stuff. But I was just wondering about other platforms. I think the party had had an Instagram account for a short amount of time, which I don't think is active. I don't know too much about how Instagram works or what the demographics are. Same with TikTok. I don't know much about that. It's something similar to YouTube, isn't it? And I've heard a few sort of worrying stories about it being somehow linked to the Chinese state. So I don't know how true that is. But I was just wondering about sort of other platforms other than the ones we're already using. And I mean, if it's worth, you know, sort of looking into Instagram more, especially. I don't know too much about it, so I was hoping someone else on there does know a bit more about how Instagram works, or if there's any other platforms out there it might be worth looking into. Cheers.
Thanks, Mike. Anyone else know anything about this? Well, we've nobody else in the speaking queue for the moment. Can I just say a brief word myself? Very interesting what Paddy has to say, because there's no doubt that it's becoming more and more difficult to get people to come to traditional meetings, more or less impossible. So this, in a way, for us, this lockdown, despite all the negative sides of it, is quite opportune, really, because it's enabled us to set up this platform, which we're getting quite good attendance at. So, and once this virus situation is over, perhaps it's something that will become an integral part of the way we communicate with one another and with people who are interested in our case. Okay, we've now got Jordan who wants to say another word. Jordan?
Yeah, so Instagram is pretty easy to use. I mean, to get popping on there is different. Like, pretty much on any social media, it's really just about content. Like, if you post a lot of stuff and you hashtag a lot, follow people, interact a lot, you can get a lot of followers, but it's mainly just about consistency. So just funny pictures. A lot of big left wing accounts get big just from posting memes, you know, like funny memes about like left wing stuff, you know. So if you were to have a lot of people sharing like a lot of really funny memes from that account, or you know, that you don't have to necessarily get big off that, but just even other good content, you know, like I don't know. I have a homegirl who does a lot of not study guides, but like it'll be like multiple posts. It'll be like 10 pictures or something that kind of explains like something that's going on in like, say, Yemen, you know, like stuff like that. But yeah, there's like a lot of different ways you can really get big on there. I mean, I'd say videos get the most interactions, you know, out of anything. But it's mainly picture based, like it's visual.
Okay.
Bill Martin now. Bill, we're not hearing you at the moment, Bill. You did have a problem last night, I remember. Is that repeating itself, I wonder? You are typing something. Yes, you typed, "This doesn't bode well." Okay. Not sure what we can do about that, whether anyone can help Bill out. Okay, we'll leave you for the moment, Bill, because we've got Steve Finch. Steve, who wants to make a contribution.
Hi, yeah. It's actually just a quick question for Jordan. The stuff that we've put out, you and I, because I don't use Facebook, I didn't see any of it. What was the response that we got to those things, or a response that you've had to the stuff that you've personally put onto Facebook? Has it any concrete results then, Jordan?
Well, mainly just shares from like our members and stuff. Maybe some likes from people that I have on as friends, but no like real interaction outside of like people who already know what the WSM is. So that's really the real hard part, is like getting people who don't know you about you to like pay attention.
So I'm okay coming back. So for example, these friends of yours that have liked this, are they cascading it on, do you think, or do you not know? Or is there a way that we could follow this up get back in contact with these people? Can we actually identify the people that have liked these things? Sorry, I'm absolutely useless at Facebook. I don't use it, to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you. So with if you have like a marketing account, if you set up like a campaign, there is like ways you can see, like it keeps track of like the people who've liked it. And like you can see, the thing about campaigns on Facebook is that they're really cool, is you can like target them to specific demographics. So let's say you put out like one picture like campaign, you know, you can like if you get a bunch of interactions from like a certain group of people, right? Like let's say like half the people that saw it didn't interact with it at all. Like you can pretty much count them out. But like the other half of the people who did interact, you can like retarget them, and like, you know, maybe half of those people will like interact again. So that's like, it kind of gets you, it like lets you know who's actually kind of interested in what you're posting. And then you can like, it's kind of like funneling, you know, you got to think like of like a funnel. Like before somebody could like really like want to go to your website, they have to like know who you are first and like stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying, but yeah, that's basically just kind of like trying to, it's really good at helping funnel people if you use like a marketing campaign. But like versus, that costs money though. If you just were like post stuff, there's really not a way to see that outside of just looking at who liked it.
Right, okay, thanks.
Okay. Paddy.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on what Jordan was saying there about funneling. In the FAQ sessions we've been having, the afternoon ones, some of these things have been sort of discussed as well. And I mentioned one time that my daughter, who does marketing, I know she's gone to the dark side, but she says that funneling is a big thing about marketing. And what you do is you have a very wide mouth to the funnel, so you know it attracts lots and lots and lots of people who, yeah, most of whom won't be particularly interested in what you've got to say, but they're hooked in because you know you're making some sort of really kind of basic kind of statements, and then you have this sort of funneling process where, you know, eventually you get some people going all the way down the funnel. This is a standard marketing technique. What she said, because I said, well, what do you see in our website? What do you think? And she said, well, I don't think you've got a funnel. I think you've got a straw, in the sense that nobody falls down your straw unless they're exactly fitted to the right size of that straw, and they just happen to be in the right place and drop straight down it. Everybody else misses it because you've not got a funnel. So in sort of further discussion, this about how to widen the mouth of our straw into a funnel, she said, well, you know, you've got to put on your website and your general stuff that you put out, you know, you've got to put out a much wider range of much more basic things like memes, the sort of thing Jordan does. Simple things that people can easily latch onto. Not you know, you don't start with the big academic articles. You start with really basic ideas that people go, oh, I like that. And then they get drawn in. That's your funnel. Now, we don't really do that in the party. We just don't really. We've never really thought about how to do that. So that's, you know, one reason. That's one problem that we've got. The other problem that I think we've got is that we do tend to work at party propaganda and things separately. To the extent that, you know, branch organisation isn't the experience that most members have now. We've got an awful lot of members who are isolated in central branch, who are so isolated, in fact, that they're just not coming to, you know, Paul's efforts to hold central branch meetings still. So there's still a long way to go. And this isolation, I think, is a huge barrier. And it's a huge thing for members to get over. We've got a way to get over it now. But we need to rethink how we organise. We've got to stop thinking in terms of what we individually can do, you know, write an article, put some stuff through a letterbox, go and flog a standard. We've got to think about how we can work collectively. And I think this is the other thing that I think we need to kind of reframe how we think about what we do. And I think Discord should help us do that.
Thanks, Paddy. Malcolm Mackay. Malcolm, can you unmute? You've got a question. You've got a cue in the speaking queue, but we're not hearing you. You need to unmute in order to speak.
Oh, can you hear me?
Can hear you now, yeah. Can hear you now.
Sorry, I lost sign for a while as well, so I didn't... Maybe repeating some things people have already said. It's a pity Jake didn't turn up to give this speech... I was actually helping Jake run that page for a while, and although it's got 17,000 followers, or whatever, however many it's got now, I'm not sure how many of them I would count as socialist. while this new technology is great for keeping in touch, I actually prefer a face-to-face interaction, because it can be very difficult to tell online, unless you have a really long conversation with someone, whether they're getting the full story, so to speak. I mean, how much socialism's enough, do you know what I mean? You can be stuck. They'll go with you so far, and then there'll be something, whatever it is, that they just don't agree with. And to kind of talk to you about Paddy, we were just talking about messages going into newspaper sites and that. I think that could be quite off-putting. I mean, you've probably been on a newspaper site yourself and noticed it's been messages of the right-wingers or whoever writing their stuff, and I think that to a kind of general reader, that could be rather off-putting. I don't see the problem with maybe one or two putting links in, but if a load of yous went on, it would just look like we're trying to. I think it could be rather off. I don't like pour cold water. It sounds like I'm pouring cold water and everything, but I'm no. Just a couple of remarks.
Thanks, Malcolm. Paul Edwards, over to you, Paul.
Yeah, I think... I don't think there's any kind of so-called silver bullet. I think it's a case of not dismissing anything, being as coordinated as we can. But going back to one of the things Paddy was... mentioning about his daughter, who's obviously got professional experience of this kind of thing, that it's very much a case of luck and being in the right place at the right time. However, if we're not active and we're not doing this thing, you know, if you're not doing it, you're not going to get it. And of course, none of us are experts, and we might not, you know, have studied these kind of things, but I think one of the things I've noticed about Jake is he's an interesting kind of guy, and I'm sure of all 18,000 plus people that he's attracted to his website, only a very small fraction or percentage of those will be hardened socialists. the thing about Jake is, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, he is he's a very successful attention seeker in the sense that he puts stuff out there that people find interesting and tune into, myself included. I've got a lot of respect and admiration for Jake. He is your sort of, you know, quintessentially decent, nice guy who has a lot of good ideas, good socialist ideas, and he's got a way of putting them forward, and he obviously captures the imagination of a lot of people, and that's one of the things that we need to grasp and get actively involved in doing, in promoting the party across all sorts of media. And I'm sure, you know, and the, I think the main, probably the most important thing is it's not to give up, you know, to keep on trying, to persevere and keep putting out there, because surely one day we will get that lucky break, and a lot of it is down to luck, you know. And I think it's also a case of keeping it simple, keeping the message simple, not because it can be off-putting when things go above your head. And, you know, our message doesn't have to be complicated. It has to be simple and straightforward, or at least the way we put it across has to be. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute that workers are stupid or silly or incapable of understanding the message, but, you know, we don't want to be over simplistic, but we certainly don't want to be over academic in the early stages of getting that message out there. And then, yeah, if people want to take it further and find out more about Marx and his ideas and his thinkings, then so much the better. But in order to get the numbers up and get people interested and get people joining, we really have to, you know, encourage them to come through the door first. And that can be done in very many different ways. Bear in mind as well, we are volunteers, you know, we are a voluntary organisation. We don't have scientific or tried and tested methods, but we are trying, but we must continue to try. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm very much dependent now on, for example, Rob Cox, who I don't think is actually with us at the moment. It's hard for me to tell. But Rob Cox has been working very much cooperating alongside Rob Cox in order to try and channel my own efforts and attentions through having become the new Secretary of Central Branch. That's taken longer than we'd have otherwise liked to, but that's just another symptom of Rob in particular having to work full time and earn a crust to get by. We are slowly but surely inching towards that goal of eventually trying to encourage members to get more involved through this particular medium, this portal of Discord and Zoom and any one of a number of means of coming together. And it's, you know, what's that saying? Slowly, slowly, catchy monkey. It's not going to happen overnight, but we are slowly but surely inching towards that. And my only hope is that members who are spread out there, we can touch them and bring them in, and hopefully that will start to filter through their contacts and eventually... you know, we will. So, you know, we will get results. We cannot, as a party, depend on the usual kind of core, half a dozen or so people to keep it going. We all have to take some responsibility for getting the message out there and encouraging people to get involved. But yeah, Jake's a great guy. I would for anybody that hasn't befriended him yet on any of the social media, it's certainly worth doing. I'm sure he would have had a lot of interesting stuff to say today, and I'm sure there's a lot we can learn from him. So, you know, my advice would be, as a parting shot, try and befriend Lincoln and get involved and check out Jake's stuff. It's all very interesting, and the more people that can link into one source, maybe the better chance we've got of sharing our ideas. That's it.
Okay, back to you, Malcolm.
Kind of picking up on what Paul was saying there. I think we need to use every means at our disposal, but I think the main thing is keep it simple, especially on Facebook. I mean, when we're talking about Facebook and that world free access, that's on Facebook. Our own party sites, they've got a few Facebook pages, but a lot of our message can be lost amongst visitors posting the form as claptrap, or what I could kind of term as tanking on, or whatever. I think one of our main aims should be in actually driving people to the WSM or SPGB websites where they can read our own propaganda rather than... I mean, sometimes you go into an SPG page on Facebook and all you'll see is Labour Party posts or reformist posts. I think we should be aiming to keep it more on message, basically. Keep it simple, as Paul was saying. Try and drive people to their own website. So, okay.
Thanks, Malcolm.